Morning. I had a biscuit and some sausage this morning. It's very delicious. I did end up having something to eat this morning. Enjoyed the worship this morning. One song in particular, I believe it was the very first song, it spoke somewhat concerning the heart. And the heart is like, it's like the capital, I would say. Whatever happens in the heart affects the whole land. I think it's in the Proverbs. Forgive me if it's either Proverbs or the Psalms. But the Lord basically says, give me your heart, give me thine heart. If the Lord has our heart, he has everything. Now, at the moment of new birth, we receive everything we will ever receive in the person of Christ, whether we know it, believe it, understand it, or not. We have received everything God created our soul to receive. At the very same moment, the Son, who is the firstborn from among the dead, Christ himself, has received his inheritance, our soul. At the moment of new birth, our soul comes by the Spirit of God to an eternal change. Something that God alone can do. It's called a miracle. Man could not do this. Man could never do this. And man can never do this. And this eternal change that takes place in our soul is, very simply put, not I, but Christ. Where the condition of death ruled and reigned before, now the condition of life is present, because he himself, who is life, is present in the soul. This is the moment of new birth. God has done this. Man cannot change this. Jesus said, I'm not sure who he was speaking to. He was speaking to the Jews, I believe. And he says, what God hath joined, let no man separate. Let no man put asunder. If God has done something, that means that you cannot undo what God hath done. Your thoughts cannot undo it. Your belief cannot undo it. Your understanding cannot undo it. There's another passage where Jesus himself says, no man knows the Son but the Father. And herein is found the security of our salvation, of everything we received at the moment of new birth. Because though we may not know the Son whom we received, though we may not know the totality, the completeness, the fullness, in Spanish it's the plenitud, of all that we received at the moment of new birth, God the Father does. He does. He does. All that God does, gives, allows, and permits, he does so, purposing it, designing it, to direct our heart unto Christ his Son. This is what he does. This is the work of the Spirit. He shall take that which is of mine and shall declare it unto you, shall show it unto you. He will guide you into all truth, who Christ himself is. The best way to approach the scriptures, I would say, which is also the hardest way, especially for us who have maybe read the Bible more than once, twice, three times maybe, five times or more. But nonetheless, the best way to approach the scriptures is, Lord, if you don't show me what you're saying, I have no clue of what you are saying.
That's right.
That is the wisest prayer to approach when reading the scriptures. In fact, that's the wisest thing to approach God with. I have no clue. Because your ways are higher than my ways. Your thought is higher than my thought. You know the Son. I think I know the Son. You know your Son, who is my life. I think I know my life. I place this diagram on the chalkboard here. I use diagrams a lot, but please understand, there was a time when I thought the diagram was everything. Thank God that the Father knows his Son. A diagram is nothing. What is shared is nothing except it serves the purpose of God. All that God does, all that God gives, all that God allows, all that God permits, it is designed and purposed of God to direct our heart, the full attention of our heart, and bring it unto Christ, his Son. So if this diagram is any good, that's exactly what it should do. Direct our heart unto Christ, his Son. At the moment of new birth, forgive my drawing, I'm not an artist, I would say I'm more like a Picasso. But at least I put two eyes on the person and not one. At the moment of new birth, the Spirit of God has been, actually, this is the work of the Spirit regardless, from before to the moment of new birth and continues onward after the moment of new birth, continually preparing the ground of the heart to respond unto the voice of God, to respond. See, before we were born again, we had as much life as this pen right here. Apart from my animation, it can do nothing. It cannot even respond to my voice. It's my pen, but it can do nothing to respond. I can't even make it stand up on its own. Stand up, please. It can't do anything. That is the condition that our soul is in. That is the state that our soul is in before we are born again. It is called a desert. There's no seed. There's no life. There's nothing living in it. But the Spirit of God does what is necessary to direct the heart unto God, brings the heart to a place where it can respond, where Jesus himself says, the day is coming and now is it. The dead who hear my voice shall live. But how shall they live? They respond to the voice by the Spirit of God. It's a miracle. New birth is a miracle. You cannot do this. I cannot do this.
Amen.
From beginning to end, it is him indeed. Amen. Now, having begun in the Spirit, what makes us think that we continue by our own ability? If we could not be born again by our own ability, what makes us think we can continue in this walk by our own ability? Okay. No, it is a miracle from beginning to end. Because it is not I, but Christ. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Because we always want something to do. He just wanted something to do to have life. So then the Lord gives him the list. Well, I've done that. I can do that. Okay. How about this? Well, I can't do that. See, the Lord himself had brought him to a place where he could confess, I cannot do this. The ability must come from outside of me. Therein is the mercy of God. One who has no power to change anything, and yet one who is all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent, who can do anything and everything, is there. But very sadly, the rich young ruler did not confess unto the one who was able, Lord, I cannot, but you can. Instead, he goes away sad. And so we know that the disciples got excited about that and said, well, who then can be saved? Of course, Jesus' response is, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. That is from beginning to end. That is coming to Christ at the moment of new birth. And at the moment of new birth, the Spirit of God brings our heart to respond unto the living voice that speaks to us. And in my diagram, I have above, which is eternal, and beneath, which is below. Beneath is what you can see with your natural eye. It's what you can hear with your natural ear. You hear my voice right now with your natural ear. It's what we understand with our natural mind, what we perceive with the natural eye, what we figure out. I can do that. I can do that. I can look at a diagram and say, well, there's a horizontal line going across with a little vertical line pointing to a cross, and then you've got like an image of a person and a tree on top. I can do that. But see, remember, all that I can do in the mind of God is called nothing. It is called ignorance. It is called darkness. It is below. It requires a miracle of God to know and or understand anything of God, including the very salvation that we received at the moment of new birth, who is Christ his Son. Because once again, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. If we know Christ to any degree, by any degree, it is because, listen, it is not our knowing. My knowing is darkness. Now see, I put with the diagram, I put this person with his eyes open, but those are the natural eyes. I cannot see God with my natural eyes. Impossible. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road that we were speaking about last night, Jesus was there. They had no clue who was there. He was there the whole time in the midst of what they were going through. They had no clue who was there. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. And thank God Jesus didn't leave it there. And no man knoweth the Father except the Son, and he unto whom he will reveal him. And see, that's it. At the moment of new birth, we have received literally everything we have received in the person of Christ. Everything we will ever receive. Everything our soul was created to receive. Because with the Father, his firstborn son has an inheritance. And unto this land, the seed is everything. The moment of a new birth, we receive everything we will ever receive from God as the person of Christ himself. At that very same moment, because Christ is present in our soul, that's what the little blue circle represents, because Christ is present in the soul, completely filling to the utmost the soul, now the soul automatically is found in Christ himself. Therefore, the soul now, the condition of the soul has changed. Before it was death, bondage. Now it is life and freedom and righteousness. And the list goes on and on and on. Where life was not present before, life is now present. This is reality. This is how God knows above, how God sees, how God understands. My ways are not your ways, My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Even right now, I can say this. You cannot see my heart, nor can you see my soul. Neither can I. I cannot see your heart, nor I can see your soul. But God the Father can. He knows the one who is present in the soul. It's us who do not know. It is we who do not know. But the Spirit of God, as I stated, does not change what he is doing. Continues preparing the ground of the heart. For what? We've already received everything that we will ever receive in the person of Christ at the moment of new birth. What now? The what now is to know the one whom we received. The one whom we do not know. Because I, with my eyes perceiving, still believe something over here is my life. What was, not what, or better put, who is. God the Father knows our life. The life of those who are born again. God the Father knows Christ. So the Spirit of God continues preparing the ground of our heart so that our heart may be able to respond yet once again unto the voice. This time, when the heart responds, I'll use a different color. The heart responds to turn to see the voice. The veil of ignorance is removed. We actually see the one who has been present the whole time since the moment of new birth. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing down here has changed. Well, maybe I got a few more gray hairs. Nothing in regard to reality has changed. Except that now I can truly, in truth, and in all honesty, confess, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And see, this is not a one-time event. No. David said it this way, discovering the mercies of the Lord, for they are new every morning, every dawning of the day in our heart. Every shining of the aurora, the morning dawning, the day star dawning in your heart. This is a day-to-day thing. This is a walk. This is walking in the land of the living and no longer trying to find our life, whether it be my personal life or your life or someone else's life, among the dead. Our life is not found among the dead. Our life is the only living one there is. He is risen. He is risen. But see, God also knows how we are. He knows that we continue as we always have, looking in an empty tomb, trying to find our life. But that does not determine our relationship with God. Remember, no man knoweth the Son save but the Father. God's very own knowing of his Son determines everything. Because though I may think, well, God, he was here at the moment of new birth, but, you know, I just don't feel that way anymore, or it just doesn't seem like he's here around. My thoughts are not his thought. What I know is not what he knows. What I know is complete ignorance. Even when reading the Bible. As I stated, it's very hard to do that, especially for us who have read the Bible and continue reading the Bible. We come to a passage, oh, well, I already know what that says. What have we just done? What actually have we done? Hold up, Holy Spirit, I've got this one. You already taught me this. See, but to God, it's not a teaching. No, that's what happens when man gets a hold of it. When God actually speaks to our heart, he speaks life. When he speaks to our heart and we respond to that voice, it's like walking on cloud nine. And you know it. But then what happens? We take that and we build a little shrine. Kind of like the Israelites did with the pole that the Lord said, take a pole, put a brass serpent on it, and anyone who looks to this will live. God gave it to them so that their hearts would be directed unto the true one who would be lifted up, unto the true one who would draw all men unto himself. That's why God gave it to them. They took it, though, and they said, this is what it's about. And then, after years, I think it was like other in the book of the Judges, I think, they began worshiping it. They worshiped what God gave them. What God gave them that was designed of God to direct their heart unto Christ, the true. Well, I understand this. I know what God does. Here's how he answered before. So, I formulate it. If this is how he answered before, this is how he will answer from here on out. And I have just taken that which is of God and made a teaching or a message or a doctrine in my own mind about it. But see, the Word of God is living, living. And that we may do that stuff with what the Lord gives, with the Scriptures even, God doesn't. The Scriptures, they are a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet. Why a lamp and why a light? The only time you use a lamp and a light, or nowadays a flashlight, is when it's darkness. Feet implying there's a movement going in a particular direction. Path implying there is a destined end. Now please understand, we are not coming to the one that we have already come to. Now, let me say it this way. At the moment of new birth, by the Spirit of God, we have come unto Christ the moment Christ appears in our soul. This is reality. This is reality. This doesn't change. God is ever present in the soul, just as he is ever present filling the heavens and the earth. He fills both heaven and earth. But you can't see that with the natural eye. In fact, I can say right now, if you are born again, you are in resurrection. But you can't see that with the natural eye. Neither could the Israelites. Jesus, well, yes, the Lord, speaking to Moses concerning Pharaoh, to tell the children of Israel, you saw what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. But we know that the Israelites didn't. The Israelites in the wilderness, they couldn't see that. They could not see reality. They could not see the great work that God had done. Though God had done it. And what God hath done, no man can undo. Several times. Well, where is God? No. In another testimony, let them build me a tabernacle that I may dwell in the midst of them. It wasn't for God's sake. He was already in the midst. Remember, the children of Israel in Egypt, the Lord sends Moses to deliver them. He says basically this, you're among the dead. You're going to slay a lamb. You're going to put its blood on the doorpost and lintel, and you're going to go into the house. Not only will you be in the house, but you will eat the lamb. It will be, listen, on the inside, whether you know it or not. This is what happens at the moment of new birth. Because Christ is now on the inside, we are found in the house. See, we are a house, and we are found in the house as well. But you cannot see this with the natural eye. You can't. I can't. My ways, my thoughts are higher than your ways and your thoughts. Let them build me a tabernacle that I may dwell among them, that I may be in the midst, or better, that they may know that I am among them, that they may know that I am in the midst. In fact, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament says, in, the famous N, E, well, in English it's E-N. Chargemer, I think, is like 17 something. Forgive me, I forgot what charge number it is. N. That I may, because I am. That they may, because they are. Have you heard of this phrase? To be where we be. To be where we be. At the moment of new birth, because Christ be in our soul, and our soul be now found in Christ, who is life, righteousness, the list goes on and on, peace, salvation, eternal, eternity, eternal life, the list goes on and on and on. But where be our heart? Does it continue to be submitted unto that knowledge that was before? What is called my knowledge? The knowledge of man, which in contrast to the knowledge of God is complete darkness and ignorance? Or is my heart now submitted unto the knowledge of God? Our heart will either be submitted to our own knowledge, or it will be submitted to the knowledge of God. It can't be submitted to both. No, there's only one master. You're either going to submit to one or the other. You can't submit to both. It's impossible. But we try to make it possible with God. There's no mixture with God. God knoweth the Son. The Father knoweth the Son. The Father knoweth the Son. There's no mixture there. It's single. It's one. Jesus also said this, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But what is that light? The light is the testimony declaring the one who is ever present in the soul since the moment of new birth. Jesus spoke of John the Baptist. He said, you know, you rejoiced in his light. He was like a flaming torch, a burning torch. You rejoiced in his light. He also said in another place, you are the light of the world. And yet he is the light of the creation of God. He is the light of the house of God. The only light we have, if it is light at all, it is the testimony of the one who is in the midst. John on the Isle of Patmos, we know he said this. I heard the voice because my attention was upon something other. And that's the way you start out. Your heart is directed unto something less. We consider ourselves. It requires a miracle of God for us to consider Jesus. We can't do it. If you could, you would be El Shaddai. You can't do it. Even in the garden, they never considered the tree of life. All they could consider was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, this appears to be good, but this over here is evil. And all that's death compared to life. They never considered. The one who only God knows. And so the Spirit of the Lord continues preparing the ground of the heart to direct the heart above where our life will be seen, where our life will be found. Remember that John on the Isle of Patmos, I heard a voice that spake with me, that spoke to me. I turned to see the voice. His heart was responding to a voice. But see, he also starts the whole thing with, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's from the moment of new birth. You don't jump out of the Spirit, and you sure don't jump out of the Lord's day. The question is, what is your heart submitted unto? Is it submitted unto the knowledge of God, who knows the Son to be present? Or is it submitted unto our own knowledge, the knowledge of man that believes Pharaoh is present, the ruler of the dead? And so thank God for God.
Amen.
John goes on to say, I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands. To me, that's the perfect testimony in the church. Why? Because it goes on to say, and in the midst, in the center, in the middle of the seven golden lampstands, one as of the sun. That's what the testimony does. It directs the heart, places the full attention of the heart upon one, Christ and Christ alone. And then he goes on to give a beautiful, still in the book of Revelation, he goes on to give a beautiful description of Christ. Light, fire, glory, all this bright, beaming, everything. A light that is greater than the natural light. A light that, as the Apostle Paul said, greater than the noonday light was shining. Greater than the light of the testimony is the light of his countenance. And when I saw him, my concept, what I thought was my life, what I believed to be my life, what I believed to be my relationship with God, came to an end. As I beheld the true, the only one. And then the Lord even confesses, I am the living one. What is the confession of John? Not I, but Christ. See, we read in the New Testament, no man can confess Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And yet, when I read that, I said, well, I can say that. I can confess that in hope. Hope is never seen, or hope is having not yet seen. That's what hope is. So the Word of God is true. I can confess that. Because the Word of God is true. I mean, what is written is true.
Yeah.
But to confess it in faith, having seen, is when we walk in the truth. When we actually walk in him, we live and move and have our being. This is the truth. This is reality. This is as God the Father knows the truth to be. Whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we are convinced of it or not, no man knoweth the Son save the Father. If the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is without doubt designed of God to direct the full attention of our heart and bring it unto Christ, his Son. This he does time and time and time again. When the two women went to the tomb, they found the tomb empty, trying to find their life, who Christ is, the only life among the dead. There were two witnesses. He's not here. You're not going to find your life looking with a natural eye below. No. Well, where's God in the midst of this? You're not going to find him there. Up to Jerusalem. I lift up my eyes. All these beautiful ways of saying this in the Psalms. Risen up, raised up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is true. This is how God knows things to be. This is the truth. This doesn't change. And we can read that and we can believe that and say, yes, this is the truth. This isn't going to change. I stand upon this. And yet it's still in the form of hope, having not seen. And yet what God declares as his testimony and gives unto us, he does it with purpose. It's not so we can just, okay, I believe this, I'm going to study this, and now I'm going to search this out. I'm going to study, you know, the lexicons or the dictionaries, and now I'm going to look at the commentators, see what they have to say. Now I'm going to read brother or sister's book of so-and-so, see what they have to say. I believe this. Yes, you must believe the testimony. Understanding and knowing that if the thing, whatever it is of God, it is designed without doubt, purposed without doubt of God to bring unto the person of Christ. And so to allow that testimony to have its perfect work in our heart. Where our heart now comes, for us who are born again, where our heart now comes by the work of the Spirit, from the knowledge of man, what I know, unto the knowledge of God, who is Christ his Son. I thank the Lord that I'm privileged to teach some Bible classes at a Bible school in Mexico. And I think recently I shared this, which makes no sense whatsoever to be sharing at a Bible school, but praise God, he's good. I said, when is it that you know that you have understood the scriptures? When is it? How is it that I know that I have actually understood what the scriptures are saying? When can I actually say, this is what it means, or this is what it says, or this is what it's all about? At what point can I actually confess that? It is only when the heart is directed unto Christ the Son, the living one. Not Jesus of Nazareth walking around in sandals. No, the risen Son, the firstborn from among the dead. This is when my heart is directed unto him that I can confess, I know what it says. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me, of nothing less. Nothing less. Man makes it something less. Because man's not God. That's what we do. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And yet the Apostle Paul says, and we have the mind of Christ. We do. Why? Because he whose mind it is present in our soul. If we have the mind of Christ, then why do I still have my thought? What is my heart submitted unto? Thank God that my heart, being submitted unto whatever, does not determine the state of my soul. Does not determine the truth. Does not determine reality. But I will say this, when my heart is submitted unto the truth, unto Christ himself, unto reality, then there's an easier go at it here. It's not as tough as I would seem it to be. Because I would be understanding that if the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is designed, it is purposed of God, without doubt, designed and purposed of God, to direct and bring unto the person of Christ his Son. First, at the moment of new birth, God does this. Man cannot undo it. Then, from that moment onward, then, now that my heart may come from the knowledge of man unto the knowledge of God. I can truly confess, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. See, what we know does not determine what God knows. That's a very good thing. That is a very good thing. The Israelites in the wilderness, they had no clue who was present. And yet we read in the New Testament, the rock that followed them was Christ. The children in the wilderness, they were led by the glory of God. They were governed by the glory of God because the kingdom of God was present, because the king was present. Whether they knew it, understood it, recognized it or not, the condition, the king was present because the condition they were in before, there was another king who ruled and reigned called Pharaoh. And yet, having been brought out of that unto myself, now there is a new condition that rules and reigns. It's one of life, righteousness, holiness. And the list goes on and on and on because the king is present. The living one is present, whether they recognize it or not, whether they know it or not. They were governed by life, whether they knew it or not, whether their hearts were submitted unto the truth or not. Once again, they were led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. If the cloud abode in one spot, they abode in one spot. If the cloud lifted and moved, they lifted and moved. In him, we live, move, and have our being. This is reality, whether we think it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we understand it or not. The reason why we don't think it, the reason why we don't understand it, is because we're still looking with our natural eye down here below to try to find what only can be seen above. See, below is darkness, it's ignorance. Above is light, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It's Christ. It's Christ. And see, at the moment of new birth, because Christ has appeared in our soul, our soul has been brought above. As I brought you with eagle's wings unto myself. Why wings? Implication, rising above. All these testimonies in the scriptures. I just read one this morning, looking through some other, doing some search. And Noah entered into the ark. And it says, and the rains came down and the ark rose, it says, high above the earth. And then when they stepped out, they had to relearn everything. Because what they had known before, the creation that they had known before, wasn't there. It just wasn't there. No, they were now in a new creation. And if they would have confessed, in all truth and honesty, they would have said, I have no clue where I'm at and what it's all about. It's time to relearn everything from scratch. And see, that should be our approach in reading any scripture. Because if not, then we have formulated something. We've put it into our box of our humanly man's wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And in contrast to that, which is God's wisdom, God's knowledge, and God's understanding, is complete ignorance and darkness. We don't have a relationship with a message. We don't have a relationship with a teaching. That doesn't work. I know you know that doesn't work. Because when we've tried to make it work, we get frustrated because it does not. If I hand my wife my driver's license and say, here, there I am. If she will be true and honest, she will take that thing and throw it in my face and say, no, there you are not. Though it tests a perfect testimony of me, as perfect as it can get. We have a relationship with a living God. I love David. I love stories of David, the testimony of David himself. There was one time that I believe that there were some armies or some troops coming to fight up against David. And he asks the Lord, he goes and he inquires of the Lord, Lord, should we go out and fight with these? The Lord said, yeah, go out, do it this way. Oh, okay, I'll do it this way. But see, David did not have a relationship in what the Lord said. David had a relationship with the Lord himself, the perfect word. Because the next, you keep on reading, then it says, and another army showed up or whatever, another battle, was about to take place. And what does David do? Oh, well, guys, I got this one. We know how God works. I know how God does it. I know how he does things. We've all experienced this before. He said, do it this way, so that's the way we do it. No, his relationship was not with a message or a teaching and a doctrine. He did not make that which God gave him to become a message, a teaching, or a doctrine. He consults the Lord yet again, inquires of the Lord. Okay, what do we do now? Okay, well now, I want you to do this, something completely different. Our relationship is with a living God, not with a message, a teaching, or a diagram. If the message or teaching or diagram is of God, given of God, permitted of God, allowed of God, it is without doubt designed and purposed of God to direct the full attention of our heart and bring our heart unto Christ, his Son. If the thing is of God, that is what it is designed and purposed of God to do, time and time and time again. When I was first born again, I was in a fellowship. It was very charismatic, believe it or not. I mean, look at me. Think of me as Mr. Charismaniac. Very hard to imagine, but it was true. I believed that if I didn't see a miracle, sign, or wonder, that we missed God. That God just didn't show up that Sunday. Those are things that I believed. I believed that if a person didn't function in what we call the so-called gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they're off. I believe that if a person wasn't operating in the quote-unquote fivefold ministry, then somehow they missed God. These are things that I believed, making those things something in and of themselves, completely ignorant that if the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, it is designed and purposed of God to direct the full attention of the heart and bring it unto Christ, his Son. This is what God does. My ignorance did not change the truth, praise God. My knowledge did not change the truth, praise God. And yet the Holy Spirit continues to be faithful, preparing the ground of my heart so it may be able to respond to his voice yet again. From that point, I don't know about you, but I'm one that likes to run things to the end. If this is what it's about, I'm going to go for it. So I did. And what happens when it's not? When we try to make life out of what's not life, I got bored. I got bored. I don't know about you all, but I got bored. Because in my mind, I wasn't going to be one of those that clock in and clock out on Sundays. I did that. That had no effect. Before I was born again, in my mind, all I had to do was check in on, well, you definitely check in on Easter. You got to do that. You have to do Easter. And the other one, which isn't as important, was a Christmas service. But you definitely have to check in on Easter. That was my thought. That was my concept. I didn't want to be a part of that. So when I was mourning, I was like, this is real. This is real. Something's completely changed. I can't figure it out, but I know something's completely changed. And so I run with it. This is what I was told. It's about this. Okay, run with it. And you get bored. I got bored. What I've heard is the pendulum swings all the way this way. And so, and I said, this can't be what it's all about. I'm bored. I mean, there's got to be more. There has to be. If this is what it's all about, I'm going back to the world. At least I don't get bored there. I can change things. Well, so from swinging all the way over here from charismania, I went to academia. I said, okay, well, that this is my mind. Please understand, this is the mind of Jimmy, the carnal mind. I said, okay, well, now I need to study more. I need to read more. I need to search the dictionaries. I need to learn, quote unquote, the original terms. And so I set out learning that. And now I was making teachings out of everything, doctrines, messages. This is what it's about. So then I would go around thinking, well, if we haven't heard a good sound doctrine or a good sound teaching or a good sound message, then God didn't show up. But that was my understanding from one to the other, from one thing that I called good to something that I called evil, and back and forth and back and forth, but I never considered life. And so what happens is that after a while, if you truly run it to its fullest, run the course to the fullest core, to its end, you will get bored. And that's what happened. And then you have to confess what we should be confessing always anyway. Lord, what is it really all about? I thought it was about this, but it can't be about that. I thought it was about this. But see, all of my I thoughts were below. And here's the Spirit of God, so faithful, continually preparing the ground of my heart to direct my heart above. See, when the heart turns unto the Lord, the risen Lord above, then the veil of ignorance that is over our heart, I don't know if you can see that from where you are, but there's an actual heart right here. And the veil, to me, the veil is the veil of ignorance. The veil of ignorance is done away. And we behold the one who has been ever present the whole entire time since the moment of new birth. We behold all that we were meant to behold of God in the person of Jesus Christ. At that very moment, we confess, not because someone taught us, not because we heard it somewhere, not because we read it somewhere. We confess with all honesty and truth, this is what it is all about. It's actually all about Jesus. Very simply put, it is all about Him. It is all about Him. We complicate things when we add to that. We complicate things, and we get frustrated when we complicate things. God does not complicate things. He makes it very simple. It's called the simplicity of Christ. And simplicity doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it's singular, one. If your eye be single, one object in view, the whole body will be full of light, be full of the testimony, as a bright shining of a candle that is placed on a candlestick. So that those who are in the house and those who come into the house may see the light of the house. But see, the light of the house is not my testimony. It's not your testimony. It's not the testimony of the church. No, that testimony is designed of God to direct unto the true light of the house of God, who Christ Himself is. The true light of the world, who Christ Himself is. The true light of the creation of God, that Christ Himself is. What man cannot do, only God the Father can do this. He does this by revealing His Son. In a heart that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit to respond to such a voice. And this is what pleases God the Father. He pleases to make known the one who has been present ever since the moment of new birth. I think it's in the Psalms that it says that weeping endures for the night, through the night. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy just doesn't appear in the morning. No, we experience the joy who has ever been present in our soul since the moment of new birth in the morning. Our hearts are at that moment submitted unto the joy who is present. And that joy, no man, no situation, no circumstance, nothing up below can take away. We are not learning something new. No. Our learning, as Brother Lumen said, our learning of new things is not actually new at all. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Oh, that's my slang. Nothing. There is no thing new under the sun. We are discovering the one who is ever present in the land. This is the norm. This is normal in the house of God. This is normal. This is normal. In the Septuagint of that verse where it says, let them build me a house, excuse me, not a house, but a tabernacle, that I may dwell. The King James says, dwell in the midst of them. That's how the King James reads. The Septuagint says, that I may appear in the midst. Time and time and time again. And yet the Lord was always there in the midst. With that testimony, when they went through the door and ate the lamb. Because he was now their salvation, the lamb. Remember, they, miracle signs and wonders, they were still in Egypt. The only thing that brought them out of that condition of death was the lamb being slain. Their salvation was in them, whether they knew it, understood it, recognized it, acknowledged it, or not. But God the Father knew. And God the Father knows. I love, I'll just share this one last testimony. I love Jacob. You know, I think it was like on Friday, I was just jotting some things down. I actually looked it up, Jacob's ladder. You know, he had a dream, it was at night. It was during the time he was asleep. And I'm going to go ahead and read this, because this is just too good not to. This is in Genesis chapter 28. Starts with verse 10. And this is when he was heading towards Haran. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba, Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. The whole thing, this ladder that the Lord presented unto Jacob, was to draw his heart from the earth below into the heavens above. And what does he discover in the heavens above? And the Lord stood above it. And said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And understand this, the way Yahweh, the Lord, communicated unto Jacob. I love this. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. This is the one whom Abraham testified of in his house, unto all that were in his household. This is the one whom Isaac testified of in his house, and unto all who were in his household. And the Lord declares, I am no different than the one they testified, except I am the living one. I am the one of whom their testimonies spoke. And he goes on to say, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is specifically of Christ himself. And behold, I love this. Because Jacob was about to leave the promised land of Canaan to go to Haran. He was about to step out. And behold, I am with thee. Not I was with thee. No, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places where you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave thee. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where our mind, our natural carnal mind, travels below. It doesn't matter where my knowledge, Jimmy's knowledge, the carnal knowledge, the natural knowledge is found. God says, I will never leave thee. But working to bring your heart from your knowledge unto mine above. At the moment of new birth, Christ is present. He does not leave. It doesn't matter what we know, what we believe, what we understand, or what we submit unto, what knowledge we submit unto. That doesn't matter. What matters is the one whom God the Father knows. And all he wants to do is direct our heart from our knowing unto his knowing. When that happens, we confess God is here the whole time. It was I who knew it not. This is the house of God. I knew it not, but God knew the truth. I just became aware of what God knows. It's his knowing. So just with everything that's been shared, everything that you've seen on the board, please submit it to the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit would take that which he desires to take, declare it to our heart, prepare the ground of our heart for his end, for God's purpose, and I'll say this, for God's, how about for God's will? Amen. Amen.